Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is the Gospel reading from John chapter 3. You may be seated. Imagine that you turn on the news tomorrow, or you pick up a paper, or you jump online, and you see the following headline: Cure for cancer found. You look into the story, which reports that this miracle cure for cancer is effective even in advanced stage 4 situations, restoring those treated to full health. The treatment has been thoroughly tested and is not a hoax. And it's market ready, able to be distributed and administered to whoever has need of it. How might you react to such news? I believe for most observers, the vast majority of us would react with joy and excitement. Wow, that's really good news. That's an amazing advance in medicine. Really cool. But there would be a portion of the population that would react differently than the rest. Specifically, those with cancer, especially with aggressive late-stage cancer, or those with a loved one, a spouse, a child, a parent, suffering with the same. For those folks, the headline wouldn't simply be a matter of fascination. It would be the declaration of rescue and life, where perhaps many had been preparing for the end. In such a world, diagnosis would take on a new light. No longer would a cancer diagnosis be a devastating punch to the gut. Instead, it would simply bring to light the need for the treatment that would cure it. In fact, given the existence of the cure, it's possible that even more people would seek out the diagnosis. They wouldn't ignore the warning signs. They wouldn't skip their annual checkups. Because when the cure exists, the real tragedy becomes those who die with their cancer undiagnosed, who pass away from a curable disease for lack of recognition. The scenario I just described, of course, is theoretical, at least for now. However, the storyline of the Bible in general and of our readings today in particular reveal that our condition in reality is even more urgent, and that God's solution is even more miraculous. We may not all get cancer, but make no mistake, we are all struggling with a very serious terminal disease. People often spend most of their lives avoiding talking or thinking about it, avoiding the diagnosis. We're tempted to exist at the stage of symptoms and to deal with those as they come along, when all the while God is challenging us to stare down the core problem, to face it as it really is. Most importantly, to let Him work healing. That goes infinitely further than we could accomplish on our own. When we meet Jesus in John chapter 3, He's interacting with a man that I believe knows there is something not quite right going on in his life. On the outside, things would look pretty good. He's likely well regarded in his community. He's well respected. People would have looked on him favorably. They would have wanted their kids to be like him someday. But after being exposed to Jesus, to his public teaching and to some of his miracles, this man, Nicodemus, was perhaps beginning to wonder if there was something about his own life and understanding about God that wasn't what it needed to be. On the outside, he looked healthy, but on the inside, perhaps he could sense a little bit of a spiritual sickness, something off, something not right, something needing diagnosis. Now, if you've ever had a sickness or an injury, you would probably agree that diagnosis is an important first step to healing. What's the problem that we're dealing with anyway? In my first year of marriage, in my first year at the seminary, I suffered a leg injury playing intramural basketball. A diagnosis was important in knowing what to do next. Was it a sprain? Did it simply need some time off, some rest? Was it something else? In my case, it ended up being a fully torn ACL, which does not heal with rest. It needs to be surgically repaired if you're going to be able to enjoy future sporting endeavors. So I received the proper diagnosis. The surgery and the physical therapy happened, and I was on my way. For me, the proper diagnosis, the official, the accurate diagnosis in the end happened by means of a doctor with an MRI. But who's able to diagnose something more serious? Who's able to diagnose a sickness of the soul? Who's able to diagnose the sickness of our communities? We can identify symptoms, confusion, selfishness, hurtful words, worry, anger, violence. The symptoms show up in our lives individually. The symptoms show up in our shared spaces, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools. But who's able to diagnose what's really going on under the hood, so to speak? Who's able to diagnose the source of all these symptoms? Psychologists, medical health professionals, politicians, all sorts of other smart people take their turns weighing in on what they believe the real problems are and how they must be addressed. Not enough funding, not enough laws, not enough education, not enough awareness, too few or perhaps too many restrictions, depending on what side of the aisle you are on politically. Solutions are offered. Solutions are implemented with varying degrees of success. But in the end, we're forced to admit that the problems don't fully go away. At the community level, our police force will never have the luxury of being fully retired. At the individual level, the patterns of thought and words and behaviors that I suppressed fairly well yesterday come back and bite me today. My impatience, my worry, my lack of love. And of course, the grave awaits us all. Nicodemus senses that there is something not quite right. There's a problem in his life at some level when he comes to Jesus in the middle of night in John chapter 3. Jesus diagnoses it. He says in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." By nature, Jesus says we are born blind to God. We fail to see him and to know him as he truly is. And as a result, we don't trust him. We don't trust his goodness. We don't trust his care, his faithful provision, his unconditional love. We seek life and security in other places, in our own talents and abilities and resources, in our relationships and our connections, in our wealth, in the right laws or the right economic conditions, in bigger or smaller government. Some try to grab life by keeping all the rules. Others try to grab life by breaking all the rules. But left to ourselves, none of us will find that life and healing that God intends for us, because left to ourselves, we just don't trust that God can or will come through for us. But thanks be to God, he doesn't leave us to ourselves. Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus is proof of that. Here is God in the flesh, coming right to where we are, right to where Nicodemus was in his darkness and his confusion, to diagnose. And better still, to deliver. God doesn't leave us to ourselves to grope around in the dark, dealing with the symptoms of sin and guessing at the underlying problem. He comes near to diagnose, to shine a light on our unbelieving hearts. Through his word, he speaks. He says, "Why are you worried? Why are you frustrated? Why are you worn out, keeping up appearances and trying to convince everyone that you have it all together? Don't you trust me? Don't you trust my love?" But even better, he comes to deliver the cure. We hear of that cure in John 3, verses 14 through 17. Jesus says to Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Many centuries earlier, God's people had allowed the deadly venom of impatience and unbelief to poison their life together in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And God had sent venomous snakes into their camp as a kind of picture of what they had allowed to happen to them spiritually. When people cried out to God, he provided a cure. Bronze serpent lifted up on a pole. If anyone had been bitten by a snake, they could turn their eyes to the bronze serpent, trusting in God's promise, and they would be healed. Now, Jesus says to Nicodemus, God is ready to provide the ultimate cure for all those reeling from the venom of sin, that venom that turns us from God and twists us into something less than the human creatures and the image bearers that God created us to be. The cure is his Son, lifted up. Look on him and be healed. Believe in him and you will live. You will be cured. Your sin is no longer your death sentence. And the cure of the cross is not simply something that saves us at the end of our lives. It reaches into our lives even today and has the power to work its healing right now. Something happens to my anger when the cross reveals that God's anger with me and with my sin has passed on forever. Something happens with my impatience. It begins to fade the more I come to know that God is patient with me, choosing not to deal with me as I deserve. Something happens to me when my worry meets his promise that he has held back absolutely no good thing from me, not even his own Son. And if not, then my God will come through for me in my time of need. This season of the church year called Lent is a prime opportunity to allow God's word to do its work of diagnosis, to reveal our desperate need for help, for a Savior. So don't skip the checkup. Don't skip your appointment, because God has revealed that he has come not simply to diagnose, but to provide the exact cure that we need. His Son lifted up that we might believe in him and have life, real life, in his name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always in Christ Jesus, our Savior and King, the one lifted up to give us life. Amen.